I'm going to start the recording.
Moses. How are you doing? Yes, that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do. Jay, do you know Randy? Okay,
Remember what I said?
you're welcome to stand in the pulpit if that's where you're more comfortable.
Who needs a microphone? I
Do we
say
have
that
anybody
because
joining virtually
Joanna's
today?
in. Yes, I'm recording the audio on Zoom, and it could be great. So depending on it, so I have Zoom on present for the audio, but it's the best with my.
Do you mind if I start the meeting just in the interest of time while we're getting that sorted out? Rachel Cohen might join Berkeley too. Sorry, I just came in and started socializing. Can you do anything about running the meeting? Hello, Alan.
Can she hear? Okay, then you can just leave it here and she will be able to listen. Exactly.
Steve, do you know Randy Sokol?
I'm not sure. Probably. Hello.
Okay, so does Joanne? Hi, Joanne. Just a quick question. Do we have Rachel Cohen today?
I
I
don't
think
see
that's
her
what we
on
find
Zoom.
out.
I don't see her on Zoom.
Okay, perfect. Okay, can I use this because we're in the big
Yeah, you
room?
can,
But I'm
and
left-handed, so I gotta move this
that's
as well.
fine. That's fine. And please, we can put these on, or you can wait until you desire to speak and then turn it on.
So just Elizabeth would prefer that we speak into the microphone because we're recording this meeting. Can you guys hear me? Is this thing on?
No, now you're red.
Yep.
I think you're good.
Who was that?
That was Matthew.
Yeah. Wow. How about now?
There, let's switch.
How
This mic doesn't seem to oh, try this.
about now? Okay. This meeting is in session. Happy Pesach. If that applies to you, comments about the high percent of Jews in service and sustainability from my product. So we're doing something a little bit different today. I think everyone knows what so our guest attendee. We are going to have an abbreviated city update from Elizabeth. If anyone else, any other speakers have a same update, let's take a minute and share it. But we are focusing all as many minutes as possible of this meeting on a pretty detailed, granular conversation with Randy, who is the owner of a chain of restaurants, about what is possible and what some realistic goals and then execution might be to shift Bexley located restaurants to do a couple of things with sustainability. Randy and I had a long conversation about what things restaurants could do a couple of things. Lowest hanging fruit achievable, but we'll get into some of that after the housekeeping is finished. And then actually after Elizabeth speaks briefly, right? We'll speak a bit about the food council. Agreed to leave. So we'll take maybe for if anybody is not interested in this topic, has too much to do, could better use their time, nobody will be offended if you decide to leave. But that's all we're going to talk about. I'm really excited about this conversation. Love everyone's involvement, but that's the topic. We want to leave here with a sense of what success might look like if we did something pretty disruptive. And that's it. Okay, with that, Elizabeth, do you want this one?
Yes,
I
please.
did not put it.
Thank you.
I spent all my time
I have a
looking at
few things. Okay, the first, I don't know if you saw on the blast this week, and if you haven't, you may or may not be getting a letter in the mail tomorrow or later this week, but our aggregation program is ending at the end of April. And as I may have discussed previously, there are some ups and downs with the market and some flux about what's going to happen. Basically, the mayor did sign a new program, but it's not going to take effect until July. So basically, May and June, and then however long it takes you to get up and running in July, you're not going to be part of the city's aggregation program. So our communication for this is kind of happening at a very rapid pace because we're just getting the mayor just signed this contract on Friday. I was out of the office as this was happening. We had been preparing another letter to go out to explain that things are going to be happening at a date yet to be determined. Well, now we know the date to be determined. So anyway, this is happening as we speak. It's the electric program that the city has negotiated a lower rate than AEP standard rate. But so right now we are scheduled to go into effect in July. Again, this communication is coming out as quickly as we can get it out. But if you talk to anybody in the community and they have questions, there's a great resource at betsy.org/aggregation, and they can always be in touch with me. And we are promoting this as widely as possible, as quickly as we have the information determined. Also, we are in the middle of Earth and Arbor Month. So if we end right at 7:30, there is a movie at the Drexel this evening about the Redwoods in California, led by the Tree and Public Gardens Commission. There's a whole lot of Earth and Arbor Day events happening, and that is at betsy.org/earth-and-arbor. I won't pull it up now, but okay, I will pull it up now. I'll be quick about it. So, as you can see, we are still only halfway through the month. There's a lot left to come. And we're particularly interested in volunteers for DEA Take Back Day. So Lisa will be there, but this is when people drive from Del Mar and we take the things out of their car that they don't want, and we are going to keep at the landfill. There is information right down here for you to sign up to volunteer. We'd love to have you. I'm not going to say it's the most fun you'll ever have, but you will feel good doing it. There is also the Coast Side Science Fest happening on May 1st. If you want to help lead just the ESAC table, which is just going to be informational at this event that is all about sustainability, feel free to let me know after the fact. And I am coming up with a waste management sign up hopefully this week or early next week. So we'll send that out with the recap of this meeting. I would really, really, really love for everybody here to consider volunteering at some point in time over the event season. You really do get better at it the more that you do it. So would love to have you once, but would really love to have you more than once. Lisa thinks it's a really fun and exceptional time, and I love that for her.
I sometimes bring a small concealed container of Chardonnay with me.
She did not say that on the record. So there's that.
Yeah, that was a joke.
And then, depending on how the conversation with Randy goes, I may or may not share more information. So I've been recording the containers that I've gotten at restaurants and been recording them on this form so that we have all the information handy. Depending on, well, I'd like to talk about that, I think, later and after
I think that's
that
probably
segues.
related to the
Yes.
next.
Yes. And then John Eikenberry sent me an email that the Environmental Club is doing great stuff and they're looking into getting an electric lawnmower. And by that, sorry, an electric robotic lawnmower was what I meant to say. Yeah.
Very cool.
Okay, that's all I have.
Just real quickly, what's the kilowatt price going to be? Is it going up, I take
It
it?
is going up to, I think, 0.95 for the aggregation program. AEP's regular price is going to be higher than that.
Oh, that's it.
You asked me to be brief.
All right. Great. Luke, Elon, take it away.
Okay. So, for this Boomers Council, the first meeting I think you're thinking was going to be May 21st. It's a Wednesday in the 30th minute at 6 p.m. And the goal is mostly going to be just like existing frog that are already moving and apply the race your campaign to everything. But then I'm also interested in is great that you're giving there. We were thinking of organizing it in the pillars. That's also what was on the overview from the city of Mexico 20 earlier. And
2018 or 21 that the who convened food council was included in the.
Well, I was supposed to be by 2025. Or yeah, I think which means I think means before, but that's
Okay.
besides the point.
Lower and
Yeah,
I think that's great. And I also think that you have a lot of people that are potentially interested in this. Like, there are a lot of Bexley people in different aspects of food. And so when you get them all in the same room, there may be some clear hierarchies or interests of the various people that you gather.
Yeah, and just to click on one level from one shared, Luke and I did meet about the obligation that we have to convene a food council. As he has shared, it seems to me that the seems to us that the job one is, as you said, to collect all stakeholders around food. And to give them a voice in some, shared environment in which to collaborate, identify overlapping values, volunteer opportunities, et cetera. Luke and I believed that a quarterly meeting was adequate. Do you have a different opinion about that, Elizabeth?
Not right now, but
Okay.
perhaps.
We thought more often is just maybe not feasible,
Right.
just based on people's bandwidth, et cetera.
Right. Yeah, no. I mean, I don't see anything right now. I also don't know the capacity. Like, is that even too much for the people there? I don't know. So we'll see. Maybe there's working groups ahead. Like, whatever. I think that's yet to be determined, but I think that's a great start.
And so what I think we should do, possible with this shared about that maybe a lot of interest is the 4 dates that we had landed upon, and I think you needed to check on a couple of dates that potentially interfere with sports for you, right? We should maybe share with Natalie those dates and get them into some social media something so that people know about them. Because I do think that we'll have a decent amount of attendance and engagement.
Is the 21st a for sure?
It's what we proposed.
Okay.
We did not yet. Did we check to see if, was I supposed to check to see if there was a I think I did say that. So not really. I kind of
Okay.
dropped the ball on that.
I'll add that to my to-dos for this
Oh,
week.
okay. We also gonna miss the part that I drink Chardonnay.
Now you said it on the record. So
the six, is that right? Well, you don't know that time
yeah,
is six.
did we say time? We'll get to six and seven. Yeah, so we'll push that information out after Elizabeth takes pity on me and finds out if there is room here at City Hall for that activity. Does anyone have any stakeholder updates that are pressing that you want to make? Okay. Oh, that's me with the timeline.
Yes.
Okay, so Steve, do you want to share, take a minute and share what outreach you have done so far to restaurants in Bexley? Because you and Joanne really have done really most of the heavy lifting on this initiative to create a more sustainable restaurant community within the city of Bexley. Just a quick minute or two.
No, we online. And Julian and I hit every restaurant. Not on? No, it's okay. That's okay. It's so my wife and I hit every restaurant that was open at the time. We have a new breakfast place, which we didn't go to, Catalina. And at the time, the restaurant or this food place on North Cassidy was probably going to close, but I think it is open now. They go there. So we went to everybody else. We gave them the survey. We were met with great enthusiasm. And there was hardly any response, computer-wise. I think we got two responses back. One, the person actually filled it out with standing there. But we spoke with, we wanted to speak with the manager. In almost every case, we did. In two or three cases, you had a food chain that really had a manager present, the flavor of the line, but we gave them the information. As I said, they were enthusiastic about doing it, but that was, no. We didn't get a good response. So that was the extent of it. I know one interesting thing, and I think it was at Luvino's, where am I going to put this? And there just is no place, physical place. I think it was at Luvino's that there was no place that they could store it or change it. But as I said, enthusiastic. That's it.
Can I have sidebar for Reese? Is this the survey?
No, that is a tracking sheet for
Okay.
all the restaurants
Okay.
and contact information.
Do you know if I have one project? Are you able? Wait, let me see if I have the survey. Is it this?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So, Randy, we're just going to let you take a quick look at the
We did that about 2 to 3 months ago.
So, if you can make a financial decision, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think we were trying just to get a sense of what our starting point of baseline was from all of the rest that are located in Texas. I think the other sheet that was created of all the restaurants for the tracking. I think we know that we're going to have a different kind of engagement from Starbucks, who, by the way, I love that they're now doing certain cups. I enjoyed going, that there's just a bunch of splash arounds, right? And as compared to cities that's done everything that the city has ever asked without like the 2 seconds of deliberation, because quality can and they are sustainable. Do you please want to just
Can I
make
back?
a comment about systems change?
That's one question.
Yeah.
We already started noting which ones of us have gone to these places.
No. Can I back up for a minute?
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. So I think that there are a handful of things that we can look at from this. So from the city's perspective, there is a single-use plastic ordinance in place, which theoretically prohibits plastic, what is it? Straws, cutlery, and non-recyclable, non-compostable takeout containers, and a few other things. These straws, cutlery, stirrers, and there's one more thing were like the first phase of that, and then the takeout containers were phase two. When we started this initially in 2020, we were, I think, just doing bags and then the straws, the cutlery, et cetera. So that was good for, I don't know, a month or two. And then we stopped because of COVID. And then we started again a year or two later. But we had also done some contact with the restaurants to try to find out really what it would cost to transition all of their to-go containers to be compostable. And we offered them some funds to do that, I think, for a handful of restaurants. We know at this time that that's not happening, and there's a whole lot of plastic and even styrofoam and things being given out. And so right now, from the mayor's perspective, it's really important to get information to find out what the restaurants are and are not doing from this aspect. For me, I'm potentially looking at this at a broader picture and thinking about how the containers and the cutlery and the straws really compose just a small percentage of the sustainability of what is happening at a restaurant. And I am also very much interested in the composting portion of this, probably more so than the containers themselves. That being said, it is the city's priority at this time, based on the ordinance that is in place, to fully and better understand this so that the ordinance can be amended as needed to reflect what is enforceable and what we think that the restaurant themselves can actually do.
What is the ordinance?
The ordinance is, have it up here. Give me one moment, please. So it's a single-use plastic ordinance. It started off first with plastic bags. So plastic ba bags were banned at the point of sale, but not for restaurants, with the understanding that you would want a plastic bag if you were getting like hot soup to go. So it's really at like Giant Eagle and CVS and Gramercy and things like that. Then I want to pull it up because I don't want to misquote it. But then there was a phase one which banned plastic straws, stirrers, I think silverware, and one other thing.
I'll go and coffee cup lid.
It might have been lids. And then there was phase two, which was, I think, takeout containers. So I can find that and pull it up. I think I have it on my desktop, but I can't speak and look for it at the same time because my brain's not working that way. Would it be helpful for you to see that right now? No. Okay. But I
Yeah, I
can.
see it sometimes, but do you know if Giant Eagle went first, or the best city of Mexico went first on their bags?
Together. So this is before I came in, but the mayor worked with Giant Eagle. And they kind of launched at the same time, and Giant Eagle called the Bexley location like a pilot for their ongoing campaign. Yeah.
And how enforceable is it?
So the bag is pretty in, well, let me say this. I don't think we've actually enforced anything. The bags is not really an issue because Giant Eagle is not doing it, CVS isn't doing it, Gramercy isn't doing it. I mean, by isn't doing it, I mean using paint, using plastic. And the restaurants are able to use plastic bags. So the bags themselves, I think, are not a problem. I think it's where we get to these four things and then, or lids, straws, cutlery, and then the takeout containers. And before we really start enforcing, I think we have to look at the ordinance and find out what is actually enforceable. Because if all of these restaurants are not in compliant and they're all having a fine of like $100 a day, that is not going to work out well for anybody. So there isn't really going to be enforcement, I think, until we kind of either rein it in or figure out what we can do to match up what is feasible for the restaurants and what we can actually enforce.
Last question.
Yes.
Are the fast food restaurants on Lewiston and also convenience stores such that you might find at a gas station, are they included in that ordinance?
I will say that so fast food restaurants are allowed to give plastic bags. Their Speedway might be giving plastic bags, and the code enforcement officer may have spoken to them once or twice. I think that might be our only one, and maybe that's somewhere. Yes, we should be paying attention to those more so than we do.
So, think we have set the stage and shared here all of the history. Is there anything before we talk about how we would prioritize, proposed action, different opportunities? Is there anything that we have missed in anyone's view about what Bexley has experimented with so far related to restaurants and reduced waste?
Yes. So I see this actually as three tracks. So there's a single-use plastic ban, the overall sustainability of the restaurant, and then we do have a pilot program for restaurant composting where the city will pay for service for a restaurant to do food waste recycling for 1 year. And then after that, if they choose to continue, they could pay at the city's rate, which is, I believe, $15 per month. We had Brassica do it for some time and also Newfangled, and then neither one of them wanted to continue on their own. And so that is still available to my knowledge. I mean, I haven't heard otherwise.
Is Kitty's now paying for composting? Do we know, or are
Not
they?
through us.
Kitty's paid
They do.
for their. So another question related to composting. Has anyone from the city engaged the property owners to help facilitate that? Because in a conversation or two with two cafe owners, it's up to them to figure out how to compost because their landlord, they are tenants and their landlords do not offer that as a part of the contract for them being where they are. So has that angle been
It has
considered?
not recently, no. I think my assumption, but I don't quote me on this, is that when we started this, we probably, well, I don't know who we reached out to. But yeah. At some point, there was some outreach. Hasn't really happened since the sub, what's the word? Subsequently.
Frequently.
Subsequently, yes.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
So yes. So in my request to get more information from the restaurants, I just decided to start keeping track of what I was getting myself, and what was being given to me. So I created, I lost it now. I created a form with like some pretty basic questions. Oh, here it is. That I would be happy to send and would love some help from people so we can get a broader understanding of what is happening at the restaurants if we're there anyway. And really, the only thing you have to do would be to choose your restaurant, tell me how you were eating, and then upload any pictures. If you want to do the rest of it, that would be great. But that's not necessary so long as I get have a clear picture. And then I can have this information all in one place. It looks like this with all of the information easily available. I know that the people who are working in the restaurants are very busy, and if we're getting takeout anyway,
Yeah.
this could be an easy way to do it. And
Are
that
these all
being
restaurants
said,
that have been visited?
that I have gone to or coworkers have gone to.
Okay.
That being said, I frequent a handful of restaurants and have never been to NOLA website. So would love a broad
So do you want
representation
to
of this.
shout out the restaurants that you need people to go to? I'm fine to just
Well,
go to them.
so they're all right here. This would probably be best in the email,
Okay.
but I can tell you what I've been to, but they are all the restaurants are listed right here. And you just check off.
Those
Or
are
you
the.
click, these are all the applicable restaurants in Bexley.
I know. Is there a way to know what the delta is? Like what hasn't been visited yet?
We would have to go through and figure that out. Like,
Okay.
where did these are the ones I've been to.
It wouldn't mind if we repeat.
No, that's fine. I mean,
It's good
especially
for
if
the
you're getting
people.
different things, then I would get it probably comes in a different kind of container. Maybe comes in a different kind of container.
Okay.
So
I
that I
don't
think.
think people read the emails.
Don't
Oh,
tell
it's
them.
meeting. Oh.
Great. So we'll include
Okay.
this. in the
Scratch that from the record. Everybody reads these.
We'll include this link in the forthcoming email.
Okay.
I think it's a very smart way. Crowdsourcing.
That being said, sorry, go ahead.
And you're not needing to involve in the discussion.
Yeah.
It's probably.
Right. I do want to keep this internal. I don't want the restaurateurs to hear from somebody that so and so sent them to check out what they're doing.
No.
This
Yeah.
is really like just for us and our knowledge so that we can have this information and use it to make an informed decision.
Okay. So, Randy, if we said to you, our goal is to reduce waste in the restaurant aspect of Bexley's community, what would your response be to us in terms of advice on how to tackle that, how to assess what would have the biggest impact, what the puts and takes of a restaurant changing its practices would be? What things would you lean in on, and what things would you say stay away from?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me here today. And I know,
Thank you for being here. We're very excited to have you here.
and I know everybody's background and what they do and what
Oh, yes.
the business you're in, how you made the subject matter. I don't know, but I'm involved in the city. Different aspect of the board than sustainability, working with the city, working with the county. And I happened to call Elizabeth because somebody told me about her, met with her. She told me about Lisa, that kind of stuck my nose in the subject because it matters to me. I care. I have a lot of experience as a restaurant operator as well as a volunteer like here.
Randy's also a board member at TWACO. I meant to mention that in your intro.
The compost to the site, that they were trying to cut down the load at the dump. Eventually, they're going to run out of space. So they are deep in the schools, they're deep with businesses, they have grants. I mean, they are truly an amazing company. And their care to the community and they're willing to do these things really fantastic. That's why. I was happy they had me on the board because aligned with what I like. But I think, first of all, just from my experience throughout the years in the breadth of the industry, I know all this rumor. Not all this in the room, right? But because of my relationship, I can probably get the owners sit down and chat about subject matter. But I think this group has to first make a decision which one of these things priorities carry out. Is it food composting, is it cycling? You have to figure out which one of that is important that should work. What's important to restaurants is if they would choose to do so, is that it is cost negative. In other words, it doesn't cost me money to do it. It's kind of incentive. And I know there's grants and money out there for that. And I also know that this isn't as big as a deal as restaurants maybe. I mean, I'm an operator, I know what it takes, and I know the reasons that they don't want to do it. I mean, my company, DJ's company place, I can't get an assistant. It's pretty close to me. So I can brag about that I'm 100% successful. But I think figuring out which is first and then kind of getting a game plan together on what the rest of the tour in any one of these subjects.
I see a question about that.
Yeah, sure.
If I don't know if we have an inherent list of priorities of what's most important, but if you have any insight as to which has the most impact on the environment in the end, that would be one way of measuring, right? Some things are kind of cosmetic and they don't really make that much difference. And who's going to make a difference? The expertise to know. Sure. Well, I'm wondering, decide.
Right. Well, I mean, it doesn't know particularly which is the first. But I think what might be important is let some let them have a bid. For me, the easiest one is food companies. Put it out so we fix it up. And then if you show them progress and how much they're actually collecting. I mean, I know when we did that at our school here in Scotland, but back there, and now everybody's pretty prideful that look how much we collected. It looked like little thin waste. So that to me is over. Doesn't make it easy, but it's been low hanging fruit. Isn't that typical part? It's something we get very open on take it anyway. By the way, we were just talking with Natalie earlier. There's a group in town, Rescue USA. Has anybody heard of them? So if you have events, like when we cook at the temple, the next day we kind of look and call them up, just package it up and leave it there. They come pick it up and they take it out and distribute to all of those in need. It makes it simple. Now, I know when I had stuff in my house or in my restaurant, I didn't want to pack that up, put it in my car, drive it somewhere because I've done it before, and they said, no, we're not taking it. We're full, doesn't meet our specs. So you end up probably with the food that you want to take out. This group just distributes.
Matthew, is that the organization you've driven for? I'm just going to ask you.
Sorry.
Is that the organization that you have driven for?
Columbus, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's amazing. Nobody knows every event, wedding, catering event, party, all that level of
team. I'm based here. I'm the site manager.
Yeah. They're better than throwing away, even composting it, give us something. So, anyways, I'll just bring that as a side note of this business that would be part of my conversation with all the members also. They understand how you donate food.
So sorry to interrupt, Luke. I think that's a really important thing to action with the Food Council or to explore, right? That's easy.
I don't know, ask a question, make a point. But I think there's an interesting parlay into this because if the ordinance is City of Bexley executive legislative branch based, if the restaurants have to do something, that's not coming from the people sitting here. That's coming from me. But you all, I think, have a really great opportunity to sort of do something that is fun and asking and encouraging. And there's a
I think
different
that's what
way
this is.
to go about it.
Yeah.
But I also
Yeah.
think, and I'm wondering if because of those two different things, Randy said to prioritize or to pick one thing. But I'm wondering if there is space for kind of holding both in different capacities. So whereas I might be the stick, you could d be the carrot in something related but different.
My gut reaction is the world is incredibly, incredibly chaotic for business, especially for small businesses. And I would prefer to have only carrot and encouragement, and you get recognition by your consumers because you did something that it turns out people think is cool, that people's kids think is cool, and you get more business that
I
way.
hear that.
I'd actually like to avoid entirely discussion of an ordinance or any kind of a legal requirement. That's my gut reaction, certainly open to discussing it.
I don't know if that's the mayor's opinion. And so there could maybe be a recommendation to him for that.
That's fine. Yeah.
But I'm saying I don't know
Yeah.
what the thought is on that. So at this point, I know that this is, bless you, of interest.
Yeah.
And a priority presently. And I don't know, at least getting the information. I don't know where it's going to take us down the road.
Yeah, but I just have to say something, and I'm just going to be direct about it, and I think it's a problem if we have an ordinance that we've already said several times we make no effort to enforce. I
Sure.
think that
So
sends
I
the wrong message
so
to
part
the
of
community.
this is getting the information so that we know what's happening, so the ordinance can be altered so that it is enforceable.
Would you like to talk about
Yes. Yes. You can't, well, you can't do that anymore. The state won't let you. Right. Sure. But I also think that it would be advantageous to even stop or pause the ordinance. But before that happens, there has to be some sort of information gathering, I think, to fully
Yeah,
understand what's
that's
happening.
fine. That's fine.
And then to be able to truthfully get a good lay of the land.
So I think that because this is a blended city, endorsed and volunteer-led initiative, I just ask that conversation with the mayor. We should have representation of paid city employees and also the people who are volunteering
In
their
terms
time to
of the
talk about this.
ordinance or in terms of composting or
In
what?
terms of whatever it is we recommend to go and do, I think it's really important. I think the mayor should hear from, a blended group.
Right. Sure.
That should that is the first step. Bears involved, but he wants the first step to be what can really happen with the first step. Because if you take the first step and never get results, you're not going to get to the other two.
Right.
So you should pick the one that you can do the fastest and then move to that. So I can hear whether we're working to answer this.
So, can I ask a few additional and financial questions around composting, and then we'll move on to the other two initiative opportunities, right? So I know that we had said that for a time the city would pay for restaurant composting services. Doesn't the city also pay taxes? Excuse me, don't restaurants also pay taxes to the city? Like, why should that not always be free? Why should the city not, just like it's in our taxes?
It's not in the taxes. It's in your refuse bill, and the restaurants themselves don't have a city mandated refuse bill. So the
Okay.
way that this does that make sense?
It does. So this may be a question for Randy.
Not, there's not a grant for it, no.
It's in our refuse bill, she said.
Okay, I haven't heard that, but I will check.
But up to this point, it's my understanding that that's the resident offer to pay for the curbside composting.
Yeah, and their taxes. They are.
It's not part of taxes. It's part of your water bill. Yeah.
Everybody is paying for, but in reality, only 40% of the community is using.
I don't know everybody knows it.
I know that. I
That's
know.
another social
We
media.
walked just my wife and I have walked the streets.
Yeah.
Tell them that what they're doing. We spoken, we don't ring doorbells, but the last several years we have distributed information. And if we find somebody who's not doing it, we tell them you're paying for it. And they don't know.
Okay, so focusing again on the restaurants. Do we have a sense of what the cost differential is? If a restaurant said of their own volition, not because they say, I want to implement front and back of house composting, what would it cost them versus doing nothing, versus throwing it all in the trash? Do you have a sense, or is that something that we need to know?
Bucket where trash,
Yeah.
pretty much one time. That's
So can we agree for, just hypothetically speaking, for the balance of this conversation, verify that the cost, once you've collected the composting, not the cost to change your operations and your staffing procedures, the cost to get rid of the composting, can we, do we believe that it's comparatively small? Or do, okay. Do we, should we verify that somehow, or do we feel comfortable just?
Good question.
As a household of two, we generate 5 gallon bucket of compost a week. Yes, that's a question. Yeah.
Well, it depends on how big this is, that one is. Many times we're going to have to pick that one.
We actually need to figure out what it is and thought about what we need to do with that. Yeah, that's a good
So the service that we offer to restaurants is for a toter. I think it's a 64-gallon toter. And we have some in the back if you're interested in looking. Sorry, I don't remember what the question was.
Yeah. What's the cost?
Okay, so the cost. Okay, so for Earth Peak to pick that up, it's $14.99 per month. Again, the city would pay the first year. And then... every week.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then I hear you that the conversation needs to happen at the owner level, not at the manager level who's got an shift and that week, et cetera. I know we've talked about consultants like Dominique Haddad doing, you know, on-site person-to-person restaurant evaluations, which I don't think the city can afford to do for all the restaurants that we would approach. There's a consultant named Dominique Haddad who does, you know, who can be paid to help restaurants modify their process. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that it's comparatively easy? I mean, I'm intrigued by Giuseppe's, or not Giuseppe's, Roosevelt Pizza Place we were just talking about. Thank you, Rubino's. That actually has the most, you could argue, the most sustainable to-go packaging. It's literally a piece of cardboard and some wax paper, right? It's like parchment or something. Question for you is, do you think it's a conversation where we say, this would be a great initiative, are you in, you know, to a handful of owners, or how do you think we would accomplish
that? Well, I don't know how to explain to them, but looking at their operation, looking at their kitchen, understand, say that we don't move, I don't know what they think it is.
Yeah.
It's just really a trash can instead of a trash can. Instead of a trash can, to don't get trash can into a building. So you might have two trash cans, but I don't know that too. I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
And see what you talk about.
I guess I have another.
These tears smell.
I don't. So I would, as we all have our own nose profiles, I would encourage everybody to walk out that way and see for yourself. It's not an issue for me when I go out there, and there we have four of them.
Remember that the trash today, I've seen composting, the trash, which is also in the same, let's say, whatever, unmitigated, unsupervised environment, that would have that same material. It's just not segregated.
But probably bagged in a thicker bag.
The goal was to be so good at something that the cost of doing it was equal to or less than having something. I don't think we have found there yet, and we're still good. the quarter. Yeah, I don't believe if I hear that. The question I'm trying to pose is, don't believe that food takes out of space that you have. But that happened. Just call the garbage company, tell them to pick it up less, one less time a week. We need like a certain heat, you're saving enough trash. But the only thing that does that is if you can do recycling, and you take all your cardboard boxes, put them in recycling trash, not in the regular trash, then you can pick up.
So I want to talk about contamination for just 1 second. Is it safe to assume that if you're talking about a business, a restaurant where you've got people that have, you know, SOPs that hopefully they're aware of and following and assessed on, that there's a comparatively low risk of contamination? Can we safely assume that the restaurants are going to be pretty good at this if they decide to do it? I think we can.
That's glorious.
This is my, I'm moving on to a school question. I'm asking first about private businesses where the owner says, yes, we're going to compost. Like, I think, especially if it's back of house, I'm thinking you can have a decent expectation that compliance will be good.
Yes, I'll compliance.
Okay.
But your clientele is also between the ages of
16. So this goes back to, I did just want to mention, Reese and I had a conversation about some ideas that we have about shifting the waste management approach in the tents, which relates a little, we'll talk about it at the next meeting. Luke, Food Council, the contamination, and I wish John Eikenberry was here. It's a good conversation to have with him too. The contamination concern is one of the concerns that I know John Eikenberry has had about composting at Bexley. I think that we need to do a little bit of research, and by research I mean ask the Ohio EPA, who gave all these awards out to schools that did composting. I think there's information we can find, gather about how people have done it well. Sweco, or the EPA gave all these awards out. I mean, I was at the ceremony when you got your award. That could be, yeah. So my question is, Luke, and I know I've said this before to Ella, I think that it would be valuable if it is, and I'm going to put money on this. I think what you're going to find out is that there is an FTE that is budgeted to assist with front of house composting in a school that does it well. A full-time employee. That's what Eikenberry referred to. I thought that was right. I think that the student body, if they want to talk about food composting in Bexley schools, needs to figure out how to request, you'll probably get rejected, how to request a full-time employee to do that work in Bexley. I think you should be on record having done it.
The claim is, which I'm ready to believe, that students can't be required to like compost without contamination. So you need someone to monitor the compost and the you can't easily rely on the volunteer.
I'm just sharing that the EPA, I witnessed it, gave away a whole bunch of awards to schools that were doing composting, and it just would be interesting to find out. And you know, Randy's probably right that Swayco asking, we could easily ask. I talk to Swaco almost every day. Ask them, you know, who does that, how they do it would be great. But I think you're going to find that Eikenberry needs help from the mayor or from the city in terms of budgeting. So you guys need to be figuring out when the budget cycle starts and get that. It's a great civics project, right? Get the budget done. Sarah Gallagher?
No.
No.
It hurts. It's like it's Dana, but it's not Dana. Sarah does food, but she is not the school's person.
But we can find out.
Oh, you can guess. It's Dana or Danya.
Got it.
They, whoever was in charge, they had graduated and were able to replace in that same year's art.
Baxley was not successful to my knowledge.
So there's.
There was a few. Let me wait back all the way up. So this was before my time. But it looks like the school, that's timer. There was a pilot, like a decent pilot, I think, at Baxley City Schools for some time that I think dismantled for reasons. I don't know why. Then I think it was last year or maybe 2 years ago, Addison and some folks in the middle school wanted to do like a week-long pilot program to see if it lasted, but to see how it went. But it was truly a 1 week test.
That was actually able to be kitchen.
This was just a front of house program. It was the kids who brought this up, and so they wanted to do front of house. Yeah,
I will say that I think I know we're talking about restaurants to them. I did not mean to send us off on a tangent, but if you think about the volume of food that we're probably talking about as an opportunity, it's probably worth having a conversation, seeing what opportunities are there. I think that the school has consistently said that they need funding to make a change in their operations.
I agree. Yep.
So let's give them the benefit of the doubt that that is the case. I also don't know that we have the most sustainably minded staffing at Bexley. And I'm not saying it's their job to be sustainably minded, but it might not be bad if there was if the conversation was approached in a different way. But I think you guys need to find out from the school what it is they believe they need, and at least ask the city of Bexley for it. They will probably say no, but who knows? But I think that's a really important part of the food council.
Yeah, and I think you need to pursue the background stuff more. But the problem with doing it just in the cafeteria, like even if you one employee or whatever, there's a lot of trappings around the school. People eat in different places. So like, then just having one employee or just one compost wouldn't do much. And if you have it everywhere, then you go back to the contamination issue. So it's like, I think it's harder than just getting one employee to put in the cafeteria.
It would really just be like one person in the cafeteria, composting.
This is American. So if you just put one person in the kitchen, start there, there's a start. And then you just do the dining area. That's it. You don't worry about the rest of the school. And you take those as after all those initiatives and bringing it. Might be 3 months in the kitchen and then another 3 months in the dining area, and then you work. But I also don't know that if you need to talk to the mayor, he's serious about it, should be some grant money. So somebody gets paid. That's their job eventually, right. The sustainability in all these areas.
I will say that I know that there's no quote unquote formal composting that's happening in the back of the house at the cafeteria, but I have heard on more than one occasion that there is a lot of things happening, such as food rescue. There's somebody who has chickens. There's a lot of stuff being diverted, even if it's not through what we would traditionally think of as composting. So I don't want us to assume that there is all this waste happening when lo and behold, we don't know that that's the
yeah, point. That's fair. That's fair.
Also, I frequently say that a lot of people more than half.
We have to figure out how to make not composting like smoking.
To the point that Luke was making earlier, though, so there were pilots, it must have been 2 years ago, in both the middle school and the high school. And the one in the middle school was more successful because the kids were all eating there. So I think I was there, like manning one station, and there were maybe one or two other people, volunteers who were willing to do this for a week. Give up their lunch period. So maybe there were three stations, the cafeteria, and that was really successful for that short period of time, as opposed to the high school where everybody is eating everywhere.
This is Rachel Cohen. Rachel, this is Randy Sokol. We're talking exclusively about restaurant restaurant waste reduction. What's that? Or trying, yeah. Okay, question. In the interest of time, it's 7:06. The question I want to ask about each of these three, let's say, tranches of opportunity, so composting, recycling, and, you know, piloting reusable takeaway packaging. Question I want to ask before we leave is, can you pull the list of restaurants back up again?
Yeah, so we've got two. We've got this.
Yeah. But we could arbitrarily say it because, Randy, to your point, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. What would make sense in terms of what does success look like for us? Do we say if we got five restaurants to do back and front of house composting, that's success? Is that too small? Do we say 10? If it's 10, if it's 7, which of the listed restaurants does it make sense to start with? I don't know if it's appropriate to ask that question now or quickly talk through whether we want to touch recycling, what we think about a pilot for reusable packaging, and then circle back. What do you think?
Get a list of 45 restaurants in Bexley, whether anyone's interested. So that will kind of tell you what feet you have to be able to defeat there. If nobody's interested, it's a bigger hill. If everybody says, yeah, I'd love to do that, yeah, we've been thinking about that, and then it's easier, then you figure out where to go from there. But I think it has to be a collective and find out what's everybody's interest in the subject is first.
How would we do that? Like, should we have a social?
Well, I mean, listen, whoever can help, but I will tell you that most of that may fall on like that initial stage because I do have a connection with the guests. So I'd be willing to meet with them over a certain period of time and see if I can. Then we tell me, but that's the answer. No.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Thank you for that offer. Is there a group, I would assume, of Central Ohio restauranteurs with Bexley restaurants involved? Or, like, is there a way to make that easier than opposed to just meeting with every single one?
Okay. I think he's saying it's the ask and who does the ask that could happen. Yeah.
dropping the surveys off the studies of surveys, return period are like 4 to 10%, which isn't enough for us to go further. Nobody's interested, and you got to figure it out something different.
Okay, so I've had my question answered about potential approach. Thank you for that. Randy, would you like to talk about recycling or a pilot of reusable to-go packaging next?
I can absolutely do that. So we started a commercial business recycling program about a year and a half ago. So now all of Best restaurants do have, they must have a recycling contract. Whether or not or how they use it is not something that we manage, but they have a toter or they have a dumpster and they know what is accepted in it.
That makes a huge difference in the collection that you're talking about. And that also saving money by lowering your burden. So that shouldn't be doable.
So knowing that Rumpke just built a $100 million MRF, $106 million MRF, which I'm dying to see. I was out of the country and Reese led the Bexley tour.
I'll go back.
Okay, let's do it. I want to now ask the question, and I want the answer to be one thing, not another, but I'll ask the question. For a restaurant to recycle versus put all of that potential high-value material, wood pulp mostly, right, into the trash, is it cost neutral? I hope it's cost neutral because, you know, clearly there's money that's being made, and this is a good thing, right, through the recycling business, or we wouldn't have a new facility that's so amazing. Do you know?
Well, here's the answer you probably thought to give. The biggest challenge, frankly, I'm in this world, and I really confused what to put in what box. I mean, they have five boxes. It's got pictures on it. But most people have no idea which box put in your product, whatever it is that you're selling. That's the for difficulty. And Sweco is aware of that, and everybody there, they keep coming up with new ideas. But that subject right there is the but in the context of marathon versus sprint, if you just start with big stuff, you know, that they can control, the restaurant control in the back of the house is a big start. You know, what you're talking about is customers who, like Panera, who cook their own stuff in different baskets.
Yeah, I was, you're right. The way that I asked the question wouldn't have enough. In my mind, I was thinking back of house because there's probably more, not single substrate, but more of a more finite set of substrates that potentially are not contaminated. At the time that you're taking cans out of, let's say, a box and you have the film around them, you can, you know, that's pretty clean. You know what I mean? Like the, no? Front of house is messy.
Back of house.
Yeah, back of house, a lot of what you're recycling is, let's say, a cardboard crate in which 36 cans came. When you're taking those cans out to do something with them, and then you have the box and the film up, it's not dirty. It's comparatively easy and simple to put it in the right stream. I'm just wondering, is that stream cost neutral or even a cost savings? Or because I mean, if it is, it's an easier conversation to have about do restaurants know what to recycle or
anything like that.
Yeah.
So we've negotiated a rate for those people who partake in our contract. Not everybody does, but most of the places have a toter that costs them $9.02 per month. And so if their trash is less than that, or rather if their trash is more than that, then theoretically it's a cost saving, right?
Yeah, there isn't really a position cost that if
What's your opinion about the cost for a manager to modify protocol or training operations back of house to increase recycling compliance? You think that that's a big spend?
My big spot, they're there already. So when they do this, there's just a cost for money. It just takes somebody to focus that that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of the time and money. It's a matter of if people want their managers to do that, like pay attention to that, versus being on four pages. Do both, but those are excuses that you'll hear here. So my manager doesn't have time, he's so busy. So you will hear that.
I mean, this is why Randy being willing to be a part of this is so significant, because he has way more credibility than any of us would have. So it sounds like we may not need to focus in on recycling. There's kind of an established infrastructure there. I mean,
it needs to be checked.
It needs to be checked, but it's probably not the hill we're going to die on as far as the conversation we're having with you.
Can I jump in 1 second? As we vexed, can we come up with a system of rating, kind of like the health department, bronze medal, silver medal, gold medal, for their composting, bronze. If they're composting and recycling, silver, we're doing all three with the carryouts, gold medal.
I love that. Something like that, because it's free and it potentially drives customers to a business, you know, so there's in a good way. No, I love that. I love that. You could even, by the way, have a contest to design the sticker within your wife could design the sticker.
Yes, and there is something called the Columbus Green Spot, and they essentially have a certification for the sustainability of businesses, and I haven't looked into it too much, but they do have like a structure in place. And
is it Green Spot Dominique's business?
No, that's Green Scope.
Thank you.
But I think that they look at things other than waste as well, and it's kind of like a whole Central Ohio thing, and they have their tiers and they have their credentials and they've got all that stuff already figured out. So if you don't want to reinvent the wheel and you're interested in looking at something broader than just waste, that might be something good to look into.
Yeah.
Well, that put something in the window.
Yeah. Yeah, and also you can have the mayor go and be pictured giving them business. You know, there's, yeah. I love that. I think that's a great thought. Okay, can we move to reusable packaging? Okay, first of all, Corey, thank you for sending me the list of suppliers. I have reached out to all of those that appeared to have any presence in the Midwest. I have heard back from only one of the, let's say, four, so I need to follow back up with them. I met with the supplier that works with the Ohio State University, and I learned a lot. I was supposed to receive some visuals of, this is a cup, obviously, from Okapi, of the assortment of to-go packaging that would be practical for something like a soup or pad thai or a sandwich or whatever. So I apologize that I did not receive that to share here today. What I did learn was that the platform that the company that works with OSU provides is just technology. So, and that is actually true of Okapi as well. So this is, I want to share with you, Randy, what I've learned so far and get your thoughts about whether that, you know, makes sense, whether you think that that's a, it's a, you know, a dead end or not?
So we use that.
Yes, thank you for, yes, it was reuse pass. Luke Minert was who I talked to. He was great. So the cost for the technology platform is $10,000. And the question that I'm, and they do not, that does not include provision of whatever volume of reusable items you would contemplate using. It is just the platform where you, you know, QR code in or out, whatever it is that you're using. So it's working at OSU. They would, you know, offer that same service here. Question, and the way that it would potentially work is we would look at, we would maybe identify some restaurants if we thought some might be interested in participating. We would need to understand what is the cost of, you know, again, we would need to say, let's say we talk to Cobb, we would need to understand they do, making some 100 takeout orders a day. Let's say they thought that 15% of them could be supplied this way. So we need to make sure that they always have that many of the SKUs of reusable takeout packaging that they would potentially need to run the business among subscribers, like, you know, city members who subscribe to that program, like Okapi, and I'll talk about this in just a second. But then we would need to figure out, let's say we had four restaurants that wanted to be a part of the pilot. We would need to figure out what a central take back location was, unless we said it's the restaurants that need to take it back. We'd need to understand, and I asked Luke this question about like how dirty are things in general. He said it's students, everything's filthy that they drop off, right? There's puts and takes of doing this type of a program that we would want to really, really understand, I think, from a very pessimistic operational standpoint. However, if you no longer have to purchase as much disposable packaging, there is a point at which that becomes profitable, certainly cost neutral, but maybe even profitable to a business owner. And, you know, this is the beginning of the journey, and we need to talk to people that have done this type of analysis, but I'm really interested in pursuing that, at least learning more about it, just because I'm wondering if Bexley is unique in the sense that our population density is probably the right one. Our size is probably the right one. The number of restaurants that we could potentially entice into doing this is probably like the right number to do this kind of a pilot. But I don't know. Could City Hall be one of the places where you could drop off your packaging? And another question I have, and I think that Reese asked Doug, who's been our contact, Doug, what's Doug's last name?
Caleb.
Yeah.
Do you know him? He heads up Cork. I don't know if you've ever met him before. Anyway, pardon?
That was Dan.
Dan and Doug.
Wasn't it Doug who was at the reuse, here at the repair company?
Yes, Doug.
Yeah. Anyway, one question I just wanted to ask before we pursue, you know, an RFP from another supplier is there any chance that we could add the SKUs that make sense for, you know, curry from Cobb, whatever from Cafe Istanbul, et cetera, and run it on the Okapi platform?
Yeah, so I asked Doug about that, and he's going to get in touch with Okapi and inquire.
Okay.
Right now, they are only coffee cups, yeah. Only beverage cups.
Have you seen these? This is the, yeah.
You know what they spend? Kitty spends? Rough buying the cup, whatever cups that they bought.
They did not pay anything. It was provided by from the Central Ohio Reuse Coalition.
Cork,
aka Cork.
There have been news articles, and I wonder if it's listed in there.
Well, so if I hear you right, first off, is the cost of entry. Restaurants typically don't have a lot of cash in the bank.
Right.
They would, you know, day to day, week to week, that all depends on the restaurant and then sales volume.
Yeah.
Especially smaller restaurants. And them have you know, a lot of money. They're ordering as little as they can each week so they can pay for it. So I don't know, you need to think to yourself. I know I don't do this a lot. I don't pay up a lot of money to save it. It's just, I just don't do that. My business is personal. There are some people that do that all the time. Pay the big amount of money, save money if you're. That's your investment of solar panels. You're gonna pay 40,000 solar panels so you save yeah. 10 years. I mean, some need the other, some need the metal, but now you're talking about restaurants who, you know, work on small margins to come $10,000 to $12,000 and do this program to save the money over a year.
I knew you would say that, and I agree with you 100%. This company, what are they called again? Thank you. The OSU one?
Reuse Pass.
Thank you. Reuse Pass targets universities who, to your point, can afford to pay up front the, you know, for OSU, it's probably a $40,000 contract for the technology, right? And I think that's why Reuse Pass was kind of intrigued by my inquiry, which was, and again, I may be wrong that Bexley is kind of an interesting and potentially uniquely qualified test case, right? We think we get everywhere, right? Everything. I think you're right. And I wonder if the model, if this were to be appropriate for a municipality, has to be structured differently financially by the technology provider. Correct. Correct.
Really has nothing to do without the right. We need to find grants that allow the restaurants to buy all this cup.
I know the figure for launching in a different city is between 800 and 1,000. Don't pay that back.
Yeah, that's the other question I'm asking myself is, first of all, I don't know why we would need to pay $10,000 for Reuse Pass's platform. I'd love to understand what the pricing would be from a company that already has two restaurants participating, right? And do we need the technology, or do we need could we handle a simpler version of it? They basically have it's like an RFID. It's a scannable tag.
What is scanning?
There's a unique identifier on this cup. Yeah.
So as a consumer, I purchase like a $10 test. When I go, I say, hey, I'm going to check out the cup. I can actually get it. And then you drink your beverage, you can take it and whatever. When you're done with it, you bring it back and you scan it. You say, hey, I'm going to check it out. So for me, it's a $10 one-time fee, and then there's this all the fees.
So you can just up that buying for $10?
Correct, because that's not the cost of the beverage.
Time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for all.
Yeah.
And you can add 2 cups.
That's what I'm thinking, but to Randy's point, I'm wondering if down the road, if the provider, let's say it actually does cost $10,000, whatever, if the provider can enable it to be funded differently so that the restaurants are baking that technology portion into whatever. But there still is the initial outlay of this. Like, you know, this, let's pretend this is a soup container, right? This probably costs, I don't know, 100 times more than a disposable one. But if I can use this 200 times, it starts to be, you know, terrific.
There's a fee for this. You don't bring it back at a certain amount of time, just as there is for Ohio State to use pass.
Well, you can't go to jail.
Like, I paid the $10, right? I will say that it is 7:29.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We're going to end on time.
But Reese did, was in the middle of.
I'm sorry. Apologies.
Really? How much is it? Fifth, okay. 15? Okay.
Yeah. Or Julie. We can. I think it's pretty small so far for them, but we definitely can do that. So forgive me, I did not realize that we were at time. This has been a fantastic conversation. What do we do next? Can we see you again? Miss you.
I also want to say that there we could definitely continue this conversation outside of a regular meeting if that is something that people wanted or didn't want to do.
You might be willing to do
Yeah. I would be delighted to buy you lunch or coffee to continue that conversation and
that time.
Sure.
Tom's close enough.
Thank you all so very much. This was really a great conversation. Mr. Sokol, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Luke.
We're on next time for May 20th.
Okay.
Do you think that still have like normal fit?
They do, yeah.